What's up, everybody? It's the one and only Vinny Milani here, and on behalf of myself and the rest of the boys, we want to sincerely thank you for subscribing and supporting our Patreon page. Because of you guys, we can continue putting out great episodes like the one you are about to hear. So without further ado, let's get into it.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
It can't be a one-man show out there. Gotta have all the boys involved. Gotta be willing to go to the dirty areas.
Hey, what's up, all you NHL and all you hockey fans? Kevin Weeks here. Just want to say welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Welcome into another edition of the Power Play Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Vinny Milani, alongside absolutely no one in the studio once again because we are practicing social distancing. Jake, especially because he's miles and miles and miles away. What's up, Jake and the backup, Anthony? How's it going, boys?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
What, Anthony? What? You talking that shit already?
A real host would, like, go to a certain person. You were just like, hi, everybody.
Anthony,
let's all talk at the same
Anthony,
time.
Anthony, if we started this show at 8 o'clock, I would have done that.
You wouldn't have screwed up the intro?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't have screwed up the intro.
By the way, I can see your green screen hanging in the background there.
I'm not trying to be fancy, buddy. I have the pole in the background. You want me to pull it out for you, buddy? You want me to pull it out?
Yeah, yeah. I want you to put on a show for me.
It's actually stuck. I'm not doing that yet.
Don't do that.
What's up, boys? How's it going?
Another day in paradise.
There you go. That's the response, Anthony, you jackass. We have a great show ahead of us tonight. We have a great interview. Jake, you want to let everyone know who we have later on?
Sure. We have a very interesting cat. He was a defense partner of mine, a teammate of mine, a opponent of mine, and my assistant coach this year. He might not be a household name that everyone knows, but he's a really, really good, insightful hockey person. He's very, very funny, and you know, we banter back and forth a little bit, so. It's definitely one that you want to check out. It's definitely going to be one of the funnier sides. Corey's a goofball, so I think everyone's going to really enjoy it. It's Corey Melkert, our assistant coach in Fayetteville.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. It was a great time having the interview. We appreciate you setting that one up for us, Jake. We've also got a quick question of the day. We've got Pims of the Week, and of course, starts, sits, call-ups. And without further ado, let's get into it, boys. It's the quick question of the day. And it revolves around the MVP talk. And I have to ask you guys, should a player who does not play for a playoff team be up for the MVP? I know your take on this here, Anthony. Why don't we hear it?
I'm just saying, I don't see a scenario where that would happen. Just because a lot of team success, or a lot of individual success, I should say, is based on what the team is doing. There was a year, maybe this like 2010, it was a while ago. Stamkos had like 60 goals and the Lightning missed the playoffs, and I don't think he won MVP that year, but he had a hell of a year, and I think he led the league in scoring. So I think it really does depend on team success, and I do tend to agree with that. Like, it's great if you have a great year, but if you're not helping your team succeed, are you really – how valuable are you to your team? Because it's MVP, most valuable player, I believe that has an implied element that is to your team.
That's fair. Jake, what do you got?
I'll play devil's advocate here. I think they should be up for it. And my viewpoint is there's a difference between most valuable player in the NHL and most valuable player to your team. And I think that it's not necessarily defined. And if it's the most valuable player in the NHL, you could have a team, and it's not this person's fault, but like if you have a team that's not constructed well by a general manager, but say Alexander Ovechkin was on the worst team in NHL history, he still had 120 points or whatever it was, like, he's still the most valuable player in the NHL. You know, the team around him might not be good. He is going to make players better, but
absolutely.
You know, if you're not gifted with a team of guys who can keep up, I mean, even if you look at like Crosby, his rookie year, he wasn't an MVP caliber. That's the other thing too, has to be MVP caliber season. He had 102 points, but his team was terrible. Very, very bad. So if he had 120 and the next closest guy had 80 and he leads the league by 20 points, he still should be up for the award. You know what I mean? I think was it the Ted Lindsay Awards, the most valuable player as voted on by your peers. I think that one would probably be more like the most valuable player in the entire league. And then the MVP would be kind of like what you were saying, Anthony, like more valuable to your team. And I think they need to kind of separate that a little more. and maybe determine. In some cases, it is the same guy for both. But I mean, if you look at a guy like McDavid, who won, he could have won the MVP if he got healthy last year and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're gonna, you're gonna rob that from him if Edmonton sucked, because Edmonton sucks. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it just needs to be distinguished a little bit more as to the guidelines of the award.
I feel like that's with a lot of awards nowadays. Like, I feel like that's with the Norris Trophy, like the Defenseman of the Year award. I feel like it's always given to the most offensive defenseman no matter what. And I always feel like that's – I don't know. I just feel like – I feel like a lot of defensemen, like defensive shutdown defensemen, like don't get enough credit like they're supposed to. Like, I'm a big Ryan.
I feel like it can be a little political also.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I also had a debate with my – Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just saying, it seems like they give it to a guy who they think has deserved it for years. Like, oh, this guy's put his time in for years. And that's how they decide on it versus, like, who had the best year. So it can get a little political when you come to the NHL awards like that.
I had a debate with my roommate in Fayetteville this year for probably a good hour. Yeah. It's very hard, and we talked about it, and I was very kind of – it's very hard to determine a defensive defenseman or an offensive defenseman. You know what I mean? Like, guys that are playing 25, 26 minutes a night aren't necessarily, like – what constitutes a defensive defenseman? A shot blocker, not going to get a lot of points, right? But then there's always a two-way defenseman, the guy who play up in both sides of the ice, right? I feel like the defensive defenseman's so hard to determine, because, like, a defensive defenseman might be stay at home, not get a lot of points, block a lot of shots, but he's only playing 15 minutes a night because he's not, like, good enough to play that much. Whereas if you look at the two-way defenseman, like Drew Doughty, I wouldn't constitute Drew Doughty an offensive defenseman. He's more of a two-way defenseman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then – so then what where's the line between a defensive defenseman who could win an award and then, you know, the two ways in the offensive defenseman? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's very hard to determine.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And I mean, I think a lot of it is with the judging defensive talent, you have to be able to watch the game. You have to be able to understand when the puck is in your defensive zone, how are these guys playing? And if they're allowing a lot of open lanes to be open or miss poke checks, things like that. That is where your advanced stats could come into play. I'm not that into advanced stats, so I wouldn't know. But like, I feel like there's got to be some way to be able to tell if the defenseman is solid in his own defensive zone. Like, I'm a big Ryan Suter fan. I think he's a great defenseman. I think he's like one of the most underrated defensemen.
But he's a power play guy.
But he does. So he never really puts up the points, though. He never really puts up the points.
But then
he's always getting the apples. Fair. And he's always able to be. He's very shut down in his defensive zone, and like it obviously doesn't show on the stat sheet. But I mean, when you watch the games, that's how you're able to tell that Ryan Suter is that shut down type of defenseman rather than your two-way defenseman.
I guess I can understand that.
Great opening segment, boys. Great opening segment. I do have another I have another question of the day, though. I have to ask it.
Okay.
Chicklets brought it up in one of their recent shows. They talked about the NHL switching over to potentially playing starting in November and playing through the summer and having your season end around, I think they were talking about July, having your season end July or August. And they talked about how they could really take advantage of the fact that baseball during the summer, it's kind of tough to watch. It gets a little boring. And Gary Bettman should look at this as an opportunity to take advantage of that. Maybe shift the season to November, end in July. You get hockey in the prime time spot, really, as playoff hockey. There's no real other sports to watch during that time. That's really exciting. What are your guys' thoughts on this proposed idea?
Well, I stand by my original stance in that I don't want this season to continue. I want there to be a summer, start anew in September. I think we're not going to get the best on the ice.
Yeah, but what do you think about the idea of this happening? Not even necessarily with this like being the outcome of this season, but in the future, maybe hockey. Obviously, it breaks tradition. And playing in the summer for the ice conditions is not that great, but it's a chance for hockey to be able to be put on that next level.
That's true. That's true. They won't be competing against football. People who usually would pick football over hockey maybe itching for something different, maybe become hockey fans after that. It could help grow the game. I'll give him that. I still don't like it.
Jaker, what do you think, buddy?
I think that now's your window to do it. If you're going to do it now.
Yeah.
And it does, I agree, it is going to help grow the game, and I think it would financially be smart. It'll never happen because the NHLPA will never let it happen.
Yeah, that is the tough. The NHLPA, do you think,
look at all the guys that, especially all the Canadian guys that buy like summer cottages and stuff, and like they spend their money on like specifically buying these vacation homes, and you can't, especially in Canada, you can't go there in September, October. You're going to be, you know what I mean? I just don't think the NHLPA would ever sign off on it. If they did, you know, and that's something that maybe I'm completely wrong on it, great. Like, it would be nice to have like, the playoffs separated, like October for baseball, January, February for football, and then like NBA would be in the same type of March, April, and then NHL obviously in July. But I just can't see it happening. I can't see him signing off on it.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a tough selling point for the NHL to be able to pull the trigger on that kind of deal. And a lot of people, the traditional fans, would definitely not like it. And it'll be interesting to see if they can ever come through with that. I would like to see it just because of the fact that it would put hockey on that next level, which we're going to kind of talk about in just a little bit with the whole where's hockey stand on the top sports in the U.S. But now we move on to the Pims of the Week.
Pims of the Week.
Yeah, we're already on the same page.
Pims of the Week. Oh, this is perfect.
Pims of the Week.
And Anthony, we have our 2 minutes going right here in our own hometown of Jacksonville. We're giving 2 minutes to Jack's Ice for their mismanagement of this whole coronavirus and bringing hockey back. And they're still charging players for a full 20-game season and only having, what, 12, 13 games, Anthony? How many games are we playing?
So there's 14 games. We're getting charged for 20. I guess I really wouldn't have a problem with the fact that they're charging us for 20 because I do want the only ice rink in Jacksonville to succeed and stay standing. But my problem is where this money's going, and that's been one of the problem forever. They don't put any of it back into the hockey rink. You don't see any updates. You don't see any renovations being made to the actual rink. There's just not a lot going on there. So it's like, where is this money really going? And also, it's the way they go about their business, too. It's like they're shady about it. They're like, they're making us fill out these stupid little surveys to return. They're trying to put all these rules in place that really aren't going to affect
anything. Putting them on blast, buddy.
I mean, they put themselves on. They do it to themselves. I'm in an email chain with my team because we're returning to the ice on Monday.
We have the same chat where everyone's just like they're getting emails from not to name any names, but they're getting emails from the rink and it's
from
just
certain rink
we're
employees.
We're not naming any names, buddy. Settle, buddy. Simmer down.
Some guys who like to play on 40 different teams so they can win beer league championships.
Simmer down, buddy.
Not naming any names here. But that's about it, though. We don't need to go too much further into it than we already have.
Yeah, simmer down over there, buddy, with that.
I'm just saying.
So 2 minutes going to Jack's Ice for their poor mismanagement of what happened during the summer, during this coronavirus return. 4 minutes now is going to Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports. He is or was my boy. I have been a huge supporter of Colin Cowherd's football takes. But he dropped some
tarnished his reputation.
He dropped some a big bomb on the hockey world the other day on his radio show. He was talking about the four major sports in the U.S. and he dropped it. Said football, baseball, basketball, and college football as the four major sports in the U.S. and that in itself was a terrible take. And then
it's an absolute insult.
Then he proceeded to talk about how hockey isn't fun to watch on TV, how it's way too expensive. The expensive part might be slightly true. I am big on the whole fact that hockey is very expensive
to go to the game or play the game.
Play the game.
Okay.
Play the game. Yeah. That was his only true point. But then he's talking about how it's not fun to watch on TV. It's boring through all 82 games of the season, and then playoff hockey might get your attention. And it was just the most absolute absurd take I've ever heard, and it deserves 4 minutes. So 4 minutes is going to Colin Cowherd and his poor take on where hockey stands in the world. 5 minutes. This one's a tough one. I normally let Anthony take this one, so I'm going to send this over to you, Anthony. What's our 5 minutes?
Our 5 minutes is going to be Brendan Leipzig for his comments that he made on social media. I guess they found leaked chats between him, was it him and his brother? I think Jaker actually knows more about this than I do. I'll hand it over to Jaker.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about the like the ins and outs of it, but it was, I guess, from what I read, it was him, his brother, and a couple buddies, I think, and it was like a private Instagram chat, and it talked about a lot of things that, not even like, it's just sickening to read some of the comments that were made about, it's not even like a specific race or anything like that, it's just about straight up being a human and stuff like that. You know, the hockey community has never really had that many tarnishing scenarios, like unlike the NFL, not to put them on blast, but there's obviously been scenarios like Ray Rice and things like that, but this one, murder. This one kind of, yeah, like things like that. So like, it's kind of sad to see something like this in the hockey community. It be so vile and disgusting. And obviously there's no room for that in our game, let alone just the life in general. It's just, it's pretty sickening to read the things that were said. Hopefully the correct actions are taken in regards to the people involved. And, obviously hopefully see an apology by the guys. I don't know if we'll get that, but, it's you know, you don't talk about people's family like that, let alone just humanity in general. So
yeah,
it's really disgusting, and it's pretty disappointing that someone in such a position is doing something like that.
So I had a question for you guys regarding the situation and regarding like pro athletes. Jaker, you were a pro athlete. With this whole, with it coming out about text messages and things like that, do you guys ever feel like it's an invasion of privacy? I mean, obviously you shouldn't be saying these things. It's terrible that they said it. I'm not in favor of any of this at all. And I know that professional athletes have to be held at a higher standard, but I feel like this is a private matter. Like, it's a private text message. Yeah. It's a really crappy thing for them to say, but what are you guys' thoughts on like the whole privacy invasion and things like that?
I agree with that. There's a, it's very tough because in like a lot of things, like there's a fine line between what's right and wrong, I guess, or what's moral and immoral. But obviously, like you said, the things that were said completely, you know, you hold, you know, no standard for it. It shouldn't be said in
general.
Yeah. But I do agree with the fact that if things are private, they should be kept private, no matter the severity of them. I don't know the situation as to how it got out or anything like that, so I can't speak for that. But if you're going to do, like, in my eyes, like, if I'm going to have a conversation with buddies, I can't ever picture myself having a conversation that, like what they had. But
yeah,
if there ever is something like that, like, I always try to, I always thought to myself, like, keep it off.
Yeah.
Like, keep it off, like, social media or texting or like that. Like, and you just always got to, I feel like there's a difference between like, and I guess this is a bad take probably because it was his brother, but like having a conversation with like your close friends and like people that you think are your friends kind of thing.
Yeah.
But for me, like if something gets caught on social media, like a tweet from a while back, like I feel like that's a little bit more reasonable because it's public, but it's very hard topic because there's such a fine line between like, I do agree that he should have his privacy and he can say whatever the hell he wants. I don't care. Obviously it's something that I would never say and I don't agree with.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. I don't want to bring this. I don't want to bring up this type of question for like to make it seem like I'm on their side or anything by any.
I'm not at all.
Yeah,
100%.
It's no one is on their side. What they did was terrible. It should not have been said. I just wanted to see where you guys kind of stood on that whole privacy thing because it's like they said it to their boys. Like it's not. I mean, yeah, he's a piece of shit for it, and it shouldn't have been said. But I mean, it's a really tough situation.
It's such a fine line between like you said, it's a fine line between like, yeah, you should have the ability. You can say whatever the hell you want. There's freedom of speech, and you should be able to have the privacy. But again, like
exactly,
it's tough. It's tough for me because yeah, I was a pro athlete, but I was never in the limelight. Not that Brandon Leipzig's a household name or anything, but like he plays in the
He plays in the show. NHL. Yeah.
He's, so like yeah. you should always be aware of what I played in the goddamn SPN East Coast. I was always aware of like I learned it back in college. I always used to talk about that against NCAA that. Like you always have to be aware of what you're saying, who you're saying it to,
mind
when
your
you're
P's
saying
and Q's,
it,
man.
Different
mind
things
your
like
P's
that.
And
like
Q's.
Exactly, and like so, like especially in a situation like that where he's in such a big stage, yeah, he's not a household name. Like you just gotta be smart. And clearly, he wasn't, and neither was his brother. But I do agree with you that there should be some level of privacy.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Again, it's a very fine line to walk. So.
Jake had mentioned this off the air. I just want to read it real quick. So the University of Manitoba has announced that Jeremy Leipzig, brother of Brandon Leipzig, will no longer be allowed to play for their men's hockey program following his involvement in the group chat that was leaked yesterday. So that's basically going to be his punishment. He's off the team. What do you guys think about what the Capitals should do to Brandon Leipzig?
I think
I read he's a restricted free agent. So they just won't sign him, and I don't think anyone will.
That's
okay. So that, you think he's
if
think
I'm,
he's
don't
done?
Quote me on that, but I think that's what I read.
Okay,
I don't want to say
that
done,
is where
but...
I have a I don't necessarily have a problem of it or a problem with it, but like, yeah, he's a shitty person. But
it's definitely gonna affect your reputation
and,
going forward.
And that's
you know?
And that's unfortunate for his brother, who's obviously you don't know where he is in terms of level of play, if he has aspirations to be an NHL player or what, but. I mean, his career is not
an NHL player.
Yeah, it's. I mean, his career is not ruined by any means, but I mean, he's going to have that mark on his record for
black mark.
Yeah, for the rest of his life, and it's very unfortunate. And it's like yeah, it was a private conversation between two people, and yeah, he's a piece of shit for it. But should it harm his future in the NHL?
Yeah, not, interesting enough.
Well, Leipzig's done. No, Leipzig's done. He'll never play a game in the NHL again. I promise you that.
That's
he's done.
That's probably true. That being said, who was it? Brandon Manning, who had said some
racist comments.
Pretty racist shit to an actual black hockey player in the NHL. He just got a suspension and came back, and then
he got the shit beat out of him.
Yeah,
by
he's done. He's done in the NHL too. He's playing in the American League.
Yeah,
he'll never play a game in the NHL as well.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. And to his credit, he did step up and take his meeting when he came back.
He did. So
not defending what he said, but he paid the bill.
That is our PIMS of the week, folks. It's 5 minutes going to Brandon Leipzig for his comments on social media. It's going to 4 minutes Colin Cowherd and 2 minutes going to Jax Ice. Unbelievable, Jax Ice still upset about that one. So now we move on to our starts, our sits, and our call-ups. I went with Jaker first last week. Anthony, I'm throwing it over to you. Where and what order are you going with first?
Wild card.
I am going to go ahead and start with my sit.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So I've been kind of keeping this in because I had this sit since like the day after we recorded last week. So I've had this sit since before our episode even got released last week. So I want to sit the Barstool Chief. He's on Chicklets from time to time. Obviously, works for Barstool Sports. He's a big Chicago super fan and writes for them. Aside from writing for Barstool, he pretty much knows all the inside information. He was on Chicklets recently, and I thought he had a super poor take that I have to sit. He was sitting McDonough, the president of the team who they fired. He was shitting on him for the Panarin trade. So I thought that was a little harsh, especially – like, he was like – he gave it to him, especially since this guy was there through three cups. It's like you can't sign everyone. They locked down Taves to that big deal. They locked down Kane to that big deal. They can't sign everyone after that. It's like you got your two superstars. You're going to have to let guys go. And I'm not saying, you know, Panarin was a great move to let go, but it's like you can't keep everybody. And Panarin was going to cost them money. He cost the Rangers $10 million this year. So – it's off base, and to me it's like you need to separate yourself between your fandom and you being a writer. And I think he has obviously having a hard time doing that.
Yeah, that's how Barstool is with things.
Very partisan. They're partisan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. It's a fair sit. It's a fair sit for sure.
Absolutely. I'm gonna kick it over to my call up. NHL tough guy, legend, enforcer, legend, George LaRocque. Also played a small role in the movie Goon. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Part-time actor.
Have ever heard of it? He has COVID-19 right now. He's battling the coronavirus. I saw him post some pictures about fighting it and taking it down. He seems very confident and very ready to fight this thing and get it out. So definitely our thoughts are with him to recover quickly, return it back to the hockey community, which we all know is a tight-knit, loving community.
Always with the serious stuff. This guy is always with the serious stuff on the show. Every time.
That's what I bring to the table. I bring the heartfelt moments. Always. So let's move it over. I have one more here. The start.
Wow,
Anthony's start of the week is going to be former Jacksonville Iceman goaltender, current Manitoba Moose goaltender in the AHL. That's Mikhail Burden. I read a very amazing stat about him over the weekend. He is tied for first in the AHL with games played and is second in all rookies in wins this season. Absolutely amazing stats for a young kid who we had the privilege to play. To see play.
The kid's unreal, dude. That kid is really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that kid. Have you seen that kid play, Jake?
Well, I was in camp the one year in Jacksonville. So he's a good goalie.
Yeah, he's very, very good. It's unfortunate he might not play for for Winnipeg because of Connor Hellebuyck. But
with Hellebuyck in there, I anticipate him getting traded. I said this last season, even anticipate him or they could go to the tandem goalie system, which seems to be working well for a lot of other teams. So
yeah,
but I definitely think he's in line to be a starter or part of a successful tandem.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun to see where he goes from here. Jake, it is now your turn. That was Anthony starts its call-ups. I like how you made your start seem like it was a massive deal, Anthony. Anthony start.
To me, it was because I'm a goalie guy. So to me, if I could start anything goalie related,
buddy, you have your own damn segment revolving around goalies.
I think the whole show should just go to goalies.
Yeah, no thanks, because no one wants to hear about goalies all show. You sick freak.
I know plenty of people who would take offense to that.
Did I just lose some listeners with that?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Two out of the 15 are gone.
Wow. Unreal. Hey, there's a real power play push going on, buddy. You be prepared
for it. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at, you know?
Well, I bet you're used to laughing at yourself. So, Jake, where are you
going with
your start, sits, and your call-ups?
All right. Well, let's see here. I'll mix up the order just because, like, Anthony did, too.
Yeah, so wild card.
Rule-breakers.
Love it.
Rule-breakers everywhere.
You started with your sit. I'll start with my call-up.
Wild card.
A little hometown pump here for Sidney Crosby. He donated 100,000 meals to the local food bank.
All that.
He's a hell of a guy, man. Everything that I've heard about him has been incredible. Part of me wishes, like, I'm sure he's probably the same way. Part of me wishes this didn't become a news story. He didn't do it for the news story. He did it out of the goodness of his heart, I'm assuming, given what I've heard about him. It's unfortunate that it's became like the front page of the newspaper, given how much stuff's going on right now and how little sports we have. But it's something that you got to look at and say, like, one of the best players ever to play the game still out in the community doing stuff. It's pretty cool to see that he's still at Pittsburgh too, rather than going back to Cole Harbour. It's pretty here during this time.
We'll
both start next.
Wow,
the TSN has been coming out with the all-time seven list, and it's I don't know why they call it the all-time seven. I guess
it's mathematically it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but basically what it is they've been coming up for it's only for the Canadian teams, the seven Canadian teams. Maybe that's why the all-time seven. But they've been coming up with it's 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, 2 goalies that are kind of the best ever in that organization. And they have the French or the cornerstone player or the foundational player at the very bottom. That's different. It's not on the actual list. I think it's really cool to see kind of the history of each team. I think it'd be really cool to see each NHL team, not obviously maybe not so much Vegas because they're so new, but I wish you kind of expanded more into the US market. I think there'd be some pretty cool debates and stuff like that. That's the tough time with the times we're in right now. It's tough to not have sports and stuff. So just having some little debates that, you know, you can go one way or another would be really cool to have. So I wish that they would go into the US markets, but man, it's pretty cool to see some of the players that are on these lists from the 30s, the 40s and stuff like that for all these teams.
Yeah, it is really fun. Now, I mean, hey, we could give the US fans what they want, at least for your Pittsburgh Penguins. Who would you put as like your starting seven is what we would do.
I love that.
So by starting seven, I would pick my forwards. My three forwards would be Crosby, Lemieux, and Jágr. That one's pretty easy. Malkin's a close fourth, but it's got to be those three. My personal two defensemen would be Sergey Gonchar and Chris Letang. They played together, but they put together some pretty impressive runs in their time here. My two goalies would be Tom Barrasso and Marc-Andre Fleury. Not Matt Murray, Marc-Andre Fleury. Barrasso was a mainstay for the Pens for my time growing up for a long time. And then, and then obviously Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, won them that cup, and actually they won all three cups with him. So he's there. And then the foundational player, from what I've been looking at these things, have kind of been like old school guys that kind of set the precedent for the organization. I kind of would have to decide between John Pronovost and Syl Apps Jr. They were part of the century line.
Yeah.
All the guys on that line. I think it was in like the early 70s, I believe, when they had the blue jerseys still. Each guy on that line got over 100 points in that year, so they called it the century line. So I give it. I think Syl Apps is probably the more household name.
Take it
so
back in history for that one.
Yeah, there's actually a documentary that they made about the 50th anniversary of the Pens a couple years ago. So I've watched that a couple times, and it's pretty interesting to see, you know, kind of how you don't really know about these guys, but they did some pretty incredible things. So I do that as my start, and then my sit.
Wild card.
We're going off a little bit. I'll be Wit, golf guy Wit for a bit. As a big golfer myself, Brooks Koepka's comments about I almost call it bitching, and I'm going to call it bitching. I like Brooks Koepka. I think he's an incredible golfer, but he was saying about how they're going to lose so many golf balls now that there's not going to be any fans in attendance to watch. Bitch, that's what we deal with. So, yeah, like, we don't have people sitting on the sideline picking up our balls. And there's times where I've hit golf balls down the middle and I still have lost them. Like, it's just the way it goes sometimes. So you're a professional golfer. You should be shooting very good anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
If you put maybe what, two balls into the, like a turn around into the deep stuff, stop crying about it.
Yeah.
You should be lucky you're playing during this time, obviously. And then now you're going to know what it's like every day, and actually they shouldn't be complaining about it because they play their like rounds in their home course with no fans. So yeah, their scores might go up low. They might not be shooting 62s like they do sometimes, but you got to be thankful for where you're at. I laugh at those comments, and now you know how it feels to be a regular old amateur girl. So
not be tampered. That's great.
Tighten up with that shit.
Tighten it up, buddy.
Get it together.
You'll hear Tiger complain about it's probably the best golf forever.
Yeah. True.
So that was your starts, its call-ups. We had Anthony starts, its call-ups. Now it's time for mine. And I'm going in order, of course. I'm starting the NHL for donating a hefty sum of $2,000 to the Professional Hockey Writers Association. They are funding. They have a foundation going right now, or not a fund, a foundation, like a GoFundMe going on right now for the coronavirus and helping supplying like masks, things like that, to the frontline workers, the nurses, and everyone like that. And the NHL actually donated, of course, $2,000, the biggest donation for the group right now. So far, they've raised like $12,000, I believe. It's really great to see. It's really great to see the NHL giving back to the Riders, which, I mean, the Riders are loved and hated around the world for many reasons. But it's great to see the NHL giving back for that, and me being on the media side as well. I have a soft spot for the Riders. Great to see. Great to see the work that they're doing for the frontline people. That's my start. I'm sitting Jumbo Joe's beard. It is gone.
RIP
to Jumbo Joe's beard. They did a video with his daughter on a dock where she genied it away. Sure. And it was very depressing to see. He looks like a completely different person. It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal how different he looks. It's crazy.
I think it's good for him though.
You think? Is it just because of faster?
He it's not like he's been a stud the last couple of years, so maybe at his age, a fresh start's what he needs. So,
it
might just absolutely not matter at all. But it's good to get. And you know, the hockey guys are pretty superstitious about things. So maybe it's time he changed it up a little bit.
Do you think he should leave San Jose and chase a cup?
I don't think anyone wants him. Otherwise, he would have.
Oh, that's
personally
true.
I don't think anyone would have. I understand Marlowe for the Penguins because he's still got some speed left, and he was producing.
I heard he was pretty upset when they didn't trade him at the deadline this year.
I don't think. Yeah, I agree, and I don't think it was up. I don't think San Jose, unless we don't know that they were super stingy about it. I heard that Boston didn't, like, he wanted to go back to Boston, yeah. And Boston didn't take him and stuff like that. So it's one of those things where it's out of your control. So he can't complain about it.
Exactly.
And if no one wanted you, no one wanted you. But if we don't know, and San Jose was real stingy about it, then that's pretty bad on them. So
yeah, exactly.
You never know.
I thought I heard that Pittsburgh was in on him, or there was a lot of rumors talking about Pittsburgh being in on him. Would you have been okay with them?
No.
No. Okay. No. Got it.
I can understand Marlowe because he still can skate. Pittsburgh didn't need another playmaker. They needed a guy who can fill minutes, and Joe can't do that. So
yeah, exactly.
I was kind of on the fence about the Marlowe trade to begin with, so yeah. I understood it. I don't know if I was the biggest fan of it, but
yeah,
if they would have got Joe, I would have been pretty upset about it.
Yeah, that would have been a tough one as well. And speaking of the San Jose Sharks, it's not my call up, but it's kind of like an honorable mention for my call up. The Sharks actually just signed 21-year-old goaltender Alexei Melnichuk, sorry, oof, butchering that one. Alexei Melnichuk from the KHL, basically the big KHL team, Scott, or at the SKA team.
Yeah, SKA. Yeah.
And he was the guy who filled Igor Shesterkin's spot on that same team. He put up absolutely insane numbers for that team, like Igor Shesterkin did. And San Jose hopes that he can be the future for them and not Martin Jones. That's my honorable mention call up. But I am really calling up, I've talked about it before, the NHL 20 player series that they're doing. They have announced the players. It's in full effect right now. We've got guys like Philip Forsberg, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Charlie McAvoy, Brady and Matthew Tkachuk. We've got tight end of the Seattle Seahawks, Luke Wilson, Anthony?
Luke Wilson.
Exactly. We cannot say that. But we have – it's going to be a great time. I've already watched a few of the videos. It's awesome stuff. I love having like these. This is what I love so much about hockey is when they actually let us behind the scenes, let us into what these players are doing, and then
let us see some personalities.
The players
too.
being the players.
The players' personalities. It really is. As a fan, it's cool.
Exactly. It brings some normalcy to these players that are on like such a high pedestal right now for us. So it's really great to see. Finally, they did it. They are the last ones to join the pro leagues. For doing their gaming series, so and we actually talk about video games in our interview in a little bit. Just a little teaser there. We talk about
nice.
We don't really talk. Yeah, well you'll hear about it. It's gonna be great. So that was our starts, our sits, and our call ups. Before we get into the interview, we have a Anthony Milani setup of the week.
You want to get setup of the week before the interview?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's do it. I have an awesome 2X setup this week. It belongs to Ivan Prozvatov.
Wow.
I said that about 800 times practicing before we went on the air here. He is a goaltender in the Arizona Coyotes organization. Spent a lot of time in the AHL for the Tucson Roadrunners. But he has a pretty awesome 2X setup. I can try to put it in the camera there. There you go.
I will post it.
For everyone watching, if you're a Patreon subscriber, you are watching. If you're not... you're missing out because I'm showing the
honestly what we might have to do is I might post the Patreon or post the setup of the week in the Patreon page, because it's definitely not getting posted to the Twitter, so it's more exclusive content for the listeners at home.
Yeah, I've been slacking on that. I gotta set a reminder for myself to get that get that going this week. But anyways, it's an awesome setup. It almost reminds me of what the Supreme Total One setup was. With the sharp triangles, kind of.
Yeah.
It's a very smooth, very clean design, and it's a custom design. It's not stock. It's great. Bauer's been knocking it out of the park with their 2X customs.
That's a little BC.
I was just thinking. I'm looking at it right now. That's a very.
It could double as a BC setup for sure. Absolutely.
100%.
Hey, I like that a lot. Real quick sidebar. Now that we're talking about gear here, real quick, I've always wanted to ask you this, Travis, before we get into the interview here. You've went from Bauer. Are you a gear guy? Do you get into the gear?
Oh yeah.
Are you
very much so? Yeah.
I hate Warrior, and you also rocked STX in the SP, which was a tough look. But
well, Bauer in college. We were at Bauer school. I've always worn Bauer skates. I've never worn really anything else. But we were my first two years in the East Coast League. We were CCM.
Yeah,
actually, first three years, I guess, because I was a camp the third year. Your CCM. I honestly preferred the CCM to the Bauer sticks and the gloves and stuff. And then
what about buckets?
I didn't see. I got a weird head, so I always wear. I always wore a 4500 in college,
that's
and
it,
then
that's it right there.
I switched when I went to the East Coast League. They gave us the CCM ones, and I liked the NHL ones. I guess you want to call them the ones that everyone in the NHL wears. I wore those in the SP too. I didn't mind the Warrior stuff. The STX we only used gloves 2 years ago. We used them. The gloves were okay. They held up good. I didn't like the way they looked, but I didn't mind the Warrior stuff. Don't mind you, for everyone listening, in the East Coast League and the SPHL, you don't get like top of line stuff. It's like the second level.
You get
so it was still good, but like I have used, like, since I graduated college, I have used a couple of like the big boy CCM sticks. And those are really good. I didn't mind it. But what I preferred, I also switched my stuff in college like every year, like different skate. I went Supreme my first year, or no, Vapor my first year, Vapor my second year, Supreme my third, Supreme my fourth for skates. Sticks were like Nexus, Vapor, Supreme, Nexus.
Can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that.
And then, like, I switched my curves and my flex every year. I tried stuff out that either worked or didn't. But,
real quick, before we get into the interview, all-time head-to-toe lineup, what bucket are you choosing? What stick are you choosing? What mitts are you choosing? And what skates?
Okay. All-time. The helmet, I honestly, my favorite helmet was the 4500.
It's got to be. There's no other answer besides the 4500.
You could throw the VOHs, the CCM ones that all the guys in the NHL wear. I very much like those. I like the way they look too. Gloves.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I really enjoyed the Forals back in the day.
That's the answer.
With the different colors that's and it. Stuff. Very much like those. But again, the CCM ones we got. Actually, I take that answer back. I have a pair of CCM gloves I got when I was in Manchester. They're the four roll version of the CCMs, and they had the shot blockers on them. I really like those. I wore those a bit in Jacksonville. Stick, Vapor 30 Light, no question. Ooh. That'll never change. Skates, my favorite skates were either the Vapor 30s. Or the Supreme 195.
Yeah.
That can go for stick too. My 195 sticks were really good too. So that could be right there. But
I'm not a pro hockey player by any means. But the 4500 and the 195 stick were the 4500 bucket and the 195 stick. Those are the easy answers for me. 100%.
Yeah, I could go either way on the stick. It could be. I love the Vapor 30 lights because for me the reason why I liked them so much was quick story. That back then I was probably like 11 or so, and I was junior was too whippy and intermediate was too stiff, and that was the first year they made the 65 flex, which was in the middle, and so that was perfect. I use that all the time, so I'd go Vapor 30 Light. That's my answer.
There it is. I'm more of a 195 guy. Anthony, you don't count in this. You had your own damn segment. You don't count in this. Okay.
No, I mean, I don't. I haven't worn player gear since like 12 and under. So
Anthony
I don't even remember.
Anthony would pick the Easton Typhoon stick, the blue one. Not even the Z bubble or anything like that. Yeah, the Z bubble. Everyone loves
Z bubble.
The
blue Z bubble, very nice.
But the blue Typhoon would be Anthony's pick. He'd go with the Tor roller skates, the tanks. That's it.
Oh yeah, very very comfortable inline blades there.
You would go the 4500 though. I feel like, and that's the right answer. That's the only answer for a bucket.
Very good answer. Very good answer.
I mean. When it comes to gear, I mean, I'm so focused on goalie stuff all the time. Like,
we're gear guys.
I mean, that's it. Yeah, I mean, I have been like a gear guy like my whole life. Like, I love getting new gear. I love when other people get new gear. Like my buddy James, like he's only played as hockey like as an adult. Like he started when he was like 20.
Yeah.
So like, he doesn't know as much about like the gear. Like what
doesn't have an appreciation.
He has an appreciation for it. So like when he's like trying to get something new, I'm like, yo. Tell me what you're looking for. I'm gonna find it,
dude. When I was in Boston, when I was playing juniors, Anthony's never really been to a real hockey store before. And when I went to Hockey Monkey for the first time, I was like video chatting with him the entire time, like showing him everything. And then he was basically like my equipment manager because like we had the Warrior buckets to start the season. I don't even remember what kind they were, but we had like five kids get concussions.
They were like the very first Warrior helmet that they ever came out
with. We had like five kids get concussions like the first month. And then our coach was like, hey, yeah, if you want to like switch helmets, like go for it. We're not going to, just make sure it's blue.
Did you go to
Do you go to Pure Hockey or TSR? Please tell me about
TSR. I went to TSR all the time. TSR was my place.
TSR
dude.
Is awesome. I love TSR.
TSR was the best. Like, I would go there all the time. It was like right up the road.
No free ads.
Although that would be a great sponsor. I would definitely be down for that
one. Why don't you hit them up and you can see if they want our show in Florida.
Anthony, remember you said how many listeners that
maybe next episode.
Yeah. But so without further ado though, I will Jake, you want the ad read or you want me to take the ad read here before we get into
Go ahead, because I don't have it on me. So
all right, let's pull it up here.
Power Play Podcast is pleased to welcome a former opponent of mine, a former teammate of mine, actually a former D partner of mine for a little bit. Pretty good golf partner and the current Fayetteville Marksman assistant coach, Corey Melker. Corey, welcome to the Power Play Podcast.
Pretty good intro, Travis. I would say I'm a little better golf partner than what you said, but other than that, not bad.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
That's what I had to ask first. I was like, during the when you guys were talking before, I had to ask, who's the better golfer? That's what everyone wants to know.
Oof. I don't know. I think Travis can hit it a little further than me, but, you know, I think I manage the golf course a little better, to be honest.
Just pure power over there.
Pure. Yeah, he outdrives me by about 100 yards, but somehow I get the ball in the hole in less shots. So I don't know if that means anything.
Yeah, that counts for something, I guess. That's huge. So welcome to the show, man. It's great having you on. As soon as I went to your DB, I saw that you played D3 hockey, and coming from junior hockey in Canada to D3 hockey, I wanted to know what that transition was like.
Honestly, my initial plan was to stay in Canada and play CIS hockey. And then, you know, kind of towards the end of my last year in junior, I got the opportunity. And I mean, I went down on a recruit trip and I kind of, you know, I was sold after that. I'll leave out some of the details, but, you know, it was good. It was a lot different. Even the hockey was a little different than I was used to, but I mean, I enjoyed my 4 years there for sure, on and off the ice.
What was the biggest difference between the hockey style?
Honestly, I just found it was, I don't want to use the word soft. I would say maybe a little more skill. You know, when I was still playing junior in Canada, there was still, you know, guys that, you know, would fight quite a bit and stuff like that. And obviously going into college hockey, there's none of that. And obviously you're preached to, you know, hang on to the puck and make plays and stuff like that. So it's a little different.
How big of an adjustment was that going from that rough and tough style of hockey in Canadian junior hockey to that kind of a more finesse style of play?
Well, I think Travis can tell you I'm not much of a finesse player. So I tried to bring my game over to Division III hockey.
If there was anyone who personified the meat and potatoes of a hockey player, it is Corey Melker. Block shots, penalty kill, puck off the glass. He had a bomb from the point, but
I
wouldn't say the fleetest
of
foot.
It actually worked out because my coach in college, he's kind of an old school guy, but he grouped players into two sets of players, piano players and piano movers. And I was always a piano mover. So I guess I kind of landed in the right spot because at least he admired some piano moving. So I fit in.
So what sold you on going there?
Honestly, I went on a couple recruitment trips and they brought me into Fredonia does a Pink the Rink game every year where they donate the proceeds to cancer. And I went in for that. And obviously it was a pretty cool atmosphere. And I wasn't used to the college hockey setting, you know, the fans playing the drums and the band and all that stuff. So I thought it was pretty neat. And, you know, the guys were good and everything on that trip was good. So, I mean, I was pretty much sold after that. And I committed, I think, the next day.
Did you get any other offers from any other places?
I talked to a couple other schools and I talked to a couple Division I programs and I could have walked on a couple, but, you know, I wasn't good enough, I guess. And then, you know, I visited Geneseo, another school in the Sunnyac. I talked to, I think, three or four Sunnyac schools, but ultimately ended up going to Fredonia.
That's a big decision to just turn away from that D1 status. So you got to wear the C there though. So how big of a deal is that?
You know what? I don't take it as a huge deal. Obviously it's a huge honor and you know, when you're named a captain, it's really cool and stuff, but you know, for me, things don't really change. You know, I think I've probably humble brag worn a letter probably everywhere I've played. And I think it's just, I don't know, like I don't, just because there's a letter on your jersey doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to change the way, you know, I present myself and stuff like that. But obviously, you know, when, especially in college, it's a pretty big honor when, you know, you're announced in front of 30 guys, and, you know, it's pretty cool. And obviously, you know, I relish the opportunity and had some ups and downs. So.
But you were never announced captain in the river. I'll tell you that.
No, that's true.
No,
that's
you true. Weren't, buddy.
That's true. We actually announced our captain this year in a river while everyone was, I don't know, what do you call it, Travis?
We were doing like a team building thing the beginning of this year, and it was we all had to have like a hand on each other's shoulders, and we had to like walk through this, probably 2.5-3 miles, like through this cold river. I think it was like 6:30 in the morning, and I remember Corey and Jesse stopped us maybe like halfway in and told Cookie that he was the captain and I was the alternate captain. So that's a story for the ages. I mean, I remember Bowen used to give Cookie shit for it the whole time this season, letting him remember that he was named captain in the river. So it was a pretty cool experience. Corey probably had a big hand in that one.
Yeah, we like to tell Max that we changed his life forever by doing that, but you know, I don't think he really agrees, but deep down maybe.
He definitely does. But look, you know, after your college career, you went overseas to Germany, and like we had just joked about, you're not necessarily the most skilled guy, and that's kind of a skill league over there. And you actually did pretty well. You had 10 points in 15 games. What was the adjustment like, and what did you like about it?
I mean, I got kind of lucky. I actually, after school, I took economics and finance in school, and I hung the skates up, and I got a real job in Toronto. And I mean, life was good, but I mean, I really missed hockey. And to be honest, I hated sitting at a desk all day. I think Travis can tell you that, you know, my attention span might not be the longest. So my buddy was already over there in Germany, and their other import unfortunately broke their collarbone. So I got to go over there and finish the year, I think December to March. And I mean, like Travis said, it's a little bit of a different game, but you know, maybe I brought some of the skill I had my last year junior that was missing all 4 years of college, and you know, was able just to play hockey, and you know, I really enjoyed myself, so it was fun.
Now, how do you get that connection? Like, who did someone contact you like at mid work week? Like, hey, we need you up here. Let's go.
Yeah, it's I think right after Christmas, I think, and my buddy actually phoned me, and I got a weird call, and it was a weird Euro number. I was like, who is this? But yeah, he called me and he said my coach asked if I knew anyone and knew anyone back home that would just get up and uproot and come for not a lot of money, and I thought of you first. So I was like, yeah, I probably will. So I actually went into work the next day, and it was, you know, it's corporate, I guess, corporate Canada. But, you know, I went in there with my suit and stuff on, and I went in there and I told him, I was like, listen, man, like, I'm going to Germany. My flight's booked. I'm leaving. And they were kind of all taken back, but I mean, they were good about it. So yeah, it was actually, he phoned me Tuesday. I signed the contract Wednesday. I was in Germany Thursday, played Friday.
Oh, wow. Well, that's quite the turnover.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty crazy, and I was a little gassed, to say the least, that first game. But especially on the huge,
those boots are probably pretty heavy.
Yeah, the boots were heavy, and the only thing nice about it was I was probably the only one on the ice that was trying to hit people. So I mean, you never get hit, which is nice, I guess. That's a good part.
That'd be a great league to play in.
How stoked were you to say, hey, I'm leaving, I'm going to play hockey?
Oh man, it was so nice to get out of there, and I honestly, it just felt so good to hang up those suits and not put them on and go to work every day. It was incredible.
What were you doing? So
I was an associate at a trading firm. So I mean, it was a good job. I was, you know, making a little bit more money than what I do playing hockey and what I'm doing now. But I just, you know, for me, I'd rather be hot. I'd rather be happy. So
yeah, definitely. Definitely.
It was unbelelable to be.
What about, what's the culture shock like once you go from Germany, you go basically Canada to the USA to Germany? What's that culture shock like?
To be honest, I had never been to Europe before, and honestly, I had no idea what to expect. It was a lot different, you know. I lived by myself there too, you know. Just an example, grocery shopping. I was my first time at the grocery store. You know, I buy all my groceries, and then I'm going to pay, but they're just staring at me. Going on, and I don't speak the language, obviously, and they're like, you have to bag your own bags. And I was like, I had to run and I had to bag all my stuff, and then you pay, just little things like that. Like, I had no idea what to expect. And you know, they got beer and stuff in the dressing room, a lot different. Just a beer fridge in the dressing room for after games. Obviously Germans are big into their beer, so just little things like that. So it's a lot different, that's for sure.
How nice was that, having the beer in the locker room already?
I think Travis can attest to the fact that I like to dabble into a couple beers here and there. So it was nice. I mean, I didn't really overindulge, but it was good. Nice little treat.
A couple IPAs at the mash house.
Yeah.
Go-to beer of choice.
Oh, for sure, an IPA. I like all IPAs. When I go to a restaurant, I'll try a new one every time. So anything IPA.
Is Jake a big drinker? He's now becoming...
Dude.
It's now becoming a thing on the show now where Jake brings up beer or there's some type of beer talk. And he has to defend himself. You here. You know him. Is he a big guy, a big drinker?
I would say no.
Yeah, dude. This is the first podcast I've been on that I haven't had a beer in my hand.
Is it because you're retired now, Travis? You're just going to turn into a booze bag or what?
Turn into you?
No. I got to work all the time now.
I know. No, I'm not going to turn into a booze bag, but I am going to enjoy a couple more now. Enjoy a few more pizzas. Maybe like 2 years ago, not so much last year. We'll go back.
Did Travis talk to you about his newfound diet he was on this year?
No, he did not. Let's hear about that one.
I was fat.
Yeah. At the end of last year, Travis was a little heavy, I'd say, a little heavy set. And then he came back this year and he kind of looked like an alien.
He did say that a few times this year. You're not jacked. You're not ripped. You're kind of just an alien. Corey used to say
just look like a lot of skin.
I didn't know I was going to bring Corey on to get shit on for an hour, but okay,
that is exactly why we brought him in. That is exactly why. When you told me that you were bringing him on, I was like, all right, we've got a pilot on here. That's what's happening.
You know, you got to give him some credit though. I can shit on him, but you got to give him some credit. I think, would you lose like 30 pounds?
Yeah, close. I think 25. Yeah,
so you got to give him credit. I don't know if I could just up and drop 30, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely not.
The warden
not
was
summer.
On your case, you could, but.
Yeah, my girlfriend actually just left and went back to Pittsburgh, and we were on actually a pretty intensive workout plan, and she's left. She's gone now, so it's going to be hard for me to keep it up.
Yeah, is it going to continue? Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's too early.
it depends on if the big guy wants to go run around the big dog.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it up, but there's no promises, and that's what I told her. So
what kind of dog do you have?
I have a golden doodle. he's a handful.
That's an understatement, Corey.
a dent in my wallet here and there, so.
Shit.
Now, Corey, what made you kind of decide to go from being a player to being a coach kind of when you did? Like, I can say this, that you were a very effective player when we played together in Fayetteville, and then even when we played against you that year and then years prior. Like, what kind of switched you in your mind to say, like, I'm going to give it up and go coach? Is it just opportunity, or were you just tired of playing, or what was that all about?
Honestly, for me, if I didn't get the opportunity with Jesse and in Fayetteville, I probably would have played again. So I guess you can say it was opportunity, but you know, I mean, I was actively looking too. I mean, I knew I always wanted to coach. So, I mean, obviously it worked out when, you know, Jesse asked if I would be interested, and, you know, things went from there, and all of a sudden I'm Travis's assistant coach. So, I mean, I guess I can say it worked out well for me.
Yeah. Were you looking, you said you were looking at, you were actively looking, were you looking at mainly pro teams, or were you trying to go like college? Like, was there any sort
honestly,
of
it's so hard. It's so hard now to get into coaching at a high level that, I mean, I honestly told myself, and for for the most part, the people closest to me that I was going to play until I got a good opportunity. So luckily I got one, and I don't think for me, it didn't really matter if it was pro or, you know, like a Division III or program or anything like that. But, you know, as soon as I got an opportunity, I was going to retire and get into coaching.
When did that drive start? When did you want to start coaching? Like, was it just after this past season, or when you were like, okay, now I want to start being active and looking for these things? Or did it happen like after you graduated college?
Honestly, you could probably go back to college, but I mean, I think I actively started looking after my second year pro. I would go on websites and, you know, apply to some jobs. I almost got a job in Manhattanville, the Division III program there. I made it to the Final Two, and I didn't get it, so I just played again. I think that was 2 years ago. And then last summer, the previous summer before I got this job, I actually didn't look at all because I signed to go over to France, but didn't end up working out because, you know, girlfriends and dogs and stuff like that. And I figured it'd be best for me to stay over here. So I really, it's weird. I really didn't look that summer. And then obviously it happened the next summer that I got this job. So I guess you could say for a while I've been actively looking, but you just never know when an opportunity is going to come, I guess.
So what's that like going from playing with these guys to now coaching these guys? What's that level? Because I know some guys still probably want to be your boy, but, you know, you have to have those boundaries between coach and teammate.
Yeah, you know, it was something I think I overplayed in my head, that I thought it was going to be harder than what it really was, because, I mean, you don't really know until you do it, but coaching is just so much different than playing. And, you know, I think Travis can attest to this, that as a coach, I'm so busy. I mean, I don't have time to be their boy. Like, obviously, I would like to say I'm a player's coach, so, you know, I have good relationships with them, and, you know, I'll talk to them at the rink and joke around with them and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't have any time to hang out with them, and nor do I think it's professional to do so. So that's, you know, I think it was kind of easy for me to distance myself from them, I guess.
What was it like for you, Jake, to have him as your coach now, going from your D partner to now your coach?
It was honestly something like in the summertime when Corey would play golf and I would play golf in Pittsburgh. It was something that I don't want to say I was like nervous about, but I was like, I kind of the same thing Corey said. Like, I was thinking a lot about it. Like, how is this going to work? Is he going to like me as a player when now that he's a coach compared to a D partner, that kind of thing. But I think he did a great job this year managing, like you said, the friendship coach aspect. Like, he was still, like you said, like our boy in the locker room and stuff, but he knew, especially for me, because there was a stretch there for, I don't know, Corey, it was like 10 games or 12 games where I was really bad. So he was still like hard on me to try to fix my game, but at the same time, like, I still would be able to text him and he'd be like, we're gonna get through it, like, everything will be fine, like, just keep doing you. So it was definitely cool. I think I was talking to somebody the other day. It was actually really cool. Corey did a lot of analytic stuff this year that we were talking about on the podcast.
Yeah.
We never really had done that in pro and then like in college or anything. So I got to give Corey credit for that, because he worked his butt off to come up with that. And it honestly helped. Oh, big guy.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. And, I've got one too.
We got three. Yeah. Now mine's laying on the floor. No, but the analytics side was really, it was interesting. And like I talked to these guys about it a couple episodes ago, but like, it was nice for me to see, like, even though there's times where I thought I had a bad game or something, you would be like, yeah, you broke the puck out 8 times, or you know, we'd do the plus minus thing. And so that was good for me just to see that side of it. I remember I told the story the other day on the podcast, but it was we were playing golf this last summer, and you remember you saying you were the, we're doing a lot more with rush defense, and you were the worst on the team last year. So that was definitely an eye opener for me. And you know, he is a great teacher. He a lot of times it was me saying, hey, Corey, can you, like, I would approach him and say, can you help me with this? Or can you do this for me? And even though, you know, we played together, he still had the feedback for me. And I think I had a pretty decent year minus those 10 or 12 games. So it was definitely a great time to have him as a coach. And yeah, it was different because when he was a player, we played golf what, 3 times a week, 4 times a week probably, and this year
probably five,
what, it probably fucked. And I think this year I think we only got out there twice, and one of them was like when we got shut down, when we were kind of sitting there for a week. So yeah, he was professional and all that stuff, but it was definitely nice to have someone that you're familiar with and friends with to be a coach, that's for sure.
So was that something that you brought in personally with the analytics, or was that something your head coach that kind of wanted to have something like that go on, or how did that come about?
Well, it's something that we talked about. We wanted to do something, and I did a little bit of research, and I'd be lying if I say I made it up totally myself, because I didn't. And coaching, I've come to find, is kind of a copycat thing, and there's some articles on The Athletic and stuff like that. And obviously I made some changes, that would kind of suited our league and our players and what I wanted to see. But no, I didn't totally make them up myself. And I'd probably be a genius if I did.
Like, going off that, what was, like, I never really even talked to you about this, Corey, this past year. What was the most, like, difficult thing about coaching that you kind of didn't expect? And then what was, like, the most rewarding side that you maybe didn't expect kind of going into it?
I think rewarding for me is, I was talking to someone the other day, and I think rewarding to me is if I teach someone something, or I bring them in and I show them, I show them a clip, or, I want you to do this, or just try this even. And then I see them do it in a game. Honestly, that was the most rewarding thing for me, just watching guys get better. I think, it's pretty cool as a coach when, you teach something or you work on something with a guy and he goes out there and he executes it. For difficult, I mean, honestly, I think it was, I really underestimated the workload. It's not something that, I don't work hard or anything like that. I just underestimated it. I didn't know it would be this much work. And I was warned it would be a lot of work, but I didn't know it would be this much. And I mean, obviously when you get in your routine, it just becomes second nature. But, when I first started it, I was like, whoa, this is a lot. I'm not just showing up at the rink at 9 o'clock, going home at noon, grabbing some food and going to the golf course. Like, I'm staying at the rink till 5 o'clock, and then I'm going home and I'm doing more hockey related stuff. it's just a little different. That's all.
So what was it? You spent some, back to your playing days, you spent some time in Pensacola. Obviously I'm located in Florida. What's it like playing hockey in Pensacola?
I mean, it's Pensacola, I guess you can say it's the hot spot for our league. I mean, everyone wants to play there. It's an attractive spot with the beach and all that. And I mean, it's cool. It's cool showing up to the rink in your flip flops every day. So, I mean, I guess there's, geographically wise, there's not a better place to play. But I mean, it's, for me, it's when I always played, and I think I kind of overestimated that going into my last year, how much, I put too much stock into it. And for me, playing was, I needed to be happy. And, I like going to the rink to a nice facility. I like enjoying, I like being around the guys. And for me, it's not all just, going to the beach and sitting on the beach. So I think I kind of overestimated and put a lot of stock into that. And I think overall, I may have made a mistake, but you live and learn. And I mean, I ended up here, and now I'm the assistant coach of a hockey team. So can't complain.
Are you trying to get into the head coaching side of things?
We'll see how it goes. I mean, the hockey world's a strange place. You never know when an opportunity is going to come. And, I'm not saying no, and I'm not saying yes. I enjoy being an assistant coach. I think someday I would like to be a head coach. And, if an opportunity comes along, I'll take a good look at it. That's for sure.
We talk about coaching and things like that. Jake and I talked about this on one of our shows. There was a big incident in the Fed where there was a massive brawl, and the coaches end up on the ice. Dude's shirt comes off. It's an absolute shit show. I guess I have to ask, did you see that?
I saw it. I saw it. Yes.
What were your thoughts? And now you're a coach, and you've played before. What were your thoughts on that incident?
I guess I would say unsurprised because it was the FHL, but also unsurprised because I know the guy that did it, and he's a pretty tough kid. And, he Travis has saw me firsthand fight that hockey player. So I would honestly say unsurprised, because you know what? You never know what you're going to see down there, and it's jungle down there.
When did you fight that guy?
I fought Nick Wright last year.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the coach. Okay, yeah, you fought Nick Wright.
No,
I was going to say, I don't remember that coach, but
kind of what the player did to that coach is kind of what that player did to my head too.
So. that was
a good fight. I'll give you that. That was a good fight.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy though, and you know, for us, I mean, we get, when you know someone gets hurt or called up, we actually, you know, our primary call up place is the FHL, and you know, I think they've done a better job of, you know, trying to rebrand their league and, you know, make it better, get some more teams, get some more talent down there, and you know, you see something like that, it kind of puts a black eye on the league, and you know, I think they have done a good job of, you know, trying to turn it around and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of disappointing to see, because now people are going to say, oh, it's the Federal Hockey League, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I think they've done a good job trying to rebrand it. So I'll give them that.
That's exactly what Jake was saying when we talked about the incident. It definitely puts a big blemish back on it. But it's like, what are your thoughts about people thinking about that in general, about like maybe the SPHL or the Fed?
Well, it's the same thing for us. I mean, we fight that stigma every year in the SPHL, and no, if you don't closely know our league, or you know minor pro hockey, you know, you just think, oh, it's the fourth league in America. It's garbage. You know, 5 years ago it was six fights a game, but you know, obviously, I think even since Travis has came into the league a couple of years ago, to where it was then and where it is now, it's, you know, it's gone mountains higher. You know what I mean? Like at one point this year, we had 13 Division I players on our team and two CIS Canadian universities, and then the rest were Division III athletes. So, I mean, I just think it's come a long way, and you know, we fight the same stigma, and you know, for us, we're always just trying to improve and, you know, brand our league to a positive way, I guess.
So what do you think about, like, you know, how the NHL obviously is so against, is now not fully against, but they're trying to slowly kind of not get rid of it, but lessen the amount of fights in the game. What are your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, Travis will tell you that I'm kind of an old school guy when it comes to fighting. So, I mean, I think there's a time and place for it. I think it does belong in the game, and I'm kind of like the rest of the hockey population now. I'm not all for, you know, going out there and two guys just, you know, off a face-off squaring up. You know what I mean? But I think there's a time and place for it, and you know, if it happens organically, I'm all for it. I mean, I did it a little bit when I played. So, I mean, I don't think it should go anywhere. And personally, that's my opinion.
Did you tell him to say that? Because that was pretty much exactly what you said when we asked you this question, Jake. That is exactly the same.
That is pretty spot on. Well,
yeah,
it is very spot on. But like, I can attest to Corey. Like just like you said, like any fight that Corey was in that I had seen. I mean, I don't remember my first or second year, but definitely the last 2 years, any fight that I saw him get in, it was never one of those like staged square up fights. It was always like, he fought Nick right after the whistle, 'cause he was poking our goalie. And I mean, the one in playoffs against Chris Field was after a whistle kind of thing. So he was a tough, he still is. I mean, not the toughest in the household, but he is still pretty tough. But he never would go out of his way to do it. It was always for a specific purpose. And, you know, 90% of the time it was to stick up for teammates. And I mean, for me, especially like having him in the couple games that we played together, that last year, I definitely felt like I could play a little bigger having Corey in the lineup. And obviously he did show his muscle a few times. So, and even this year, I mean, he showed your muscle a few times on the bench there, and your face turned the color of your red shirt sometimes. But for players like me who are, I would say, on the exact opposite of Corey, more on the softer side of things, it definitely made me feel a lot bigger and a lot safer out there having guys like Corey. So props to you, and thank you, Corey, for protecting me.
Hey, man, that's just like he said, you know, there's always a purpose for it. So, I mean, I actually kind of enjoyed it. So I don't know. I kind of sometimes, except when I got knocked out and I got knocked out in my career in Wichita, and I was staring at the Wichita Coliseum ceiling there when I woke up, and that wasn't very fun. And my mom booked a flight that night for my girlfriend to, you know, come to Wichita and make sure I was okay, because she was probably watching it on TV and I probably did not look.
Oh, okay. Man. Oh. So what is it? What's that side like? I mean, like you're known to be a little bit more on the fighter side. What's that like for your family to watch that and your girlfriend to watch that? What do they think about that?
I think my girlfriend's all for it, actually. Her That's and her awesome. Family are, they love it, but my mom, not so much. I guess I probably fought a lot more earlier on in my career. You know, my first year I fought quite a bit, and after every game or every fight, like, something would happen and my mom would be on the horn immediately asking, you know, is your head okay? Hand, face, jaw, all that kind of stuff. I honestly think she had a checklist. You know, she'd go down and check, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, yeah, mom, like, I'm fine. So
that's what moms are for.
She hated it. She saw me got knocked out and you know, she wasn't a huge fan of the fighting.
Who's the toughest guy you've ever fought?
Probably Nick Rice. I don't the guy that knocked me out, so maybe him, but yeah, probably Nick Rice. He's a pretty tough character, and you know, I think honestly, I think he was in the ECHL actually to start this year, and
he was actually in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
I think he got suspended, and I think honestly, like, he's tough enough to fight in that league if, you know, that's what he wants to do. And I personally actually played with him for a year in Evansville, and he's like all of them, man. He's really nice off the ice and works super hard. So I think there's a place for fighting. I just don't know about the stage stuff, I guess, in conclusion.
So you talked about it briefly, about being on the bench and having to kind of get heated a little bit. How big is it to fight the urge to want to get back on the ice and play?
I guess, you know, I think Travis can attest to it. I think I did miss it, obviously. I missed playing, but the games that did, you know, turn into that style of games, those are the games I wanted to be playing in. And, you know, Travis would look back at me sometimes when he's on the bench and say, how bad do you want to be playing right now? Like, yeah. Like, this is the night I want to be playing. And I know
that game against Roanoke.
Yeah, I know there's a couple instances this year I kind of, you know, I lost my cool, and I think, you know, it's something I obviously need to get better at as a younger coach. But I mean, honestly, you know, it's just part of my personality, and it's probably going to be hard for me to, you know, limit that stuff when certain stuff kind of happens. So
we loved it, though. It got the boys going.
The players loved it. But I mean, it's something I need to get in check. That's for sure.
You ever have the head coach have to kind of settle you down?
Actually, no. I think, you know, me and our head coach have a pretty good relationship. And when he saw my eyes kind of cross and my wires cross, he kind of just let me go, surprisingly. So it was actually our trainer that held me back.
Yeah, he's the only one who probably could have held you back.
Yeah, he kind of bear hugged me and carried me back across right to my office on the D-Corp end. So. If it wasn't for him, I might have flew over the glass.
Seeing someone jab the tendy and be like, oh, fuck this, I'm done.
No, I mean, it wasn't anything like that. It was just what other teams were doing, I guess. Like bench management from other teams. And, you know, if you know, someone else on the bench, a staff is chirping our players, it kind of sets me off, because I just find that very unprofessional. And for me, I don't think I would ever, I wouldn't chirp another player on an opposing team. And, you know, if they're going to give it to our team and give it to our captain, that's what kind of set me off that night. So, yeah.
That was the night that I sent you that picture, Vinny, of me getting bear hugged by Jake Schultz.
pretty tough customer, actually, Travis grabbed onto.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Corey came in the next day and said, "Oh, I actually think you might be one of the toughest moments you've had in your career." And I got bear hugged and put in a headlock.
Yeah, we didn't have an overly We didn't have an overly tough team, so that might have skyrocketed Travis into the top three toughest on the team.
I am good for a little bit. I am the one. I'm 1-0 in fights, Corey, though. Last year,
it's pretty good.
And I fought your favorite player.
You can't lose if you don't do it, Travis. That's what I always
say. That's true. That one made the Travis Jake highlight reel that we announced for him, and the whole headlock thing, which was great. But so what's it? You ever? So are you? You're coaching now. Are the guys that are playing? Do they ever come up to you? They ever chirp you? The guys that you've played with that now you're coaching against?
I mean, for me, I know so many guys in the league still, just because I played in it for, it feels like 15 years, but it was only five. But yeah, I mean, I know some guys will smile at me on the ice from opposing teams, and you know, I think for our guys, you know, there's that line. We have a good relationship. There's that line where, you know, they can say some stuff to me, and you know, I think it's hilarious, and you know, I'll give it back to them a little bit, and you know, I just think I'll just brighten the mood a little bit in the mornings when everyone comes in and they're a little groggy because they played video games until 4 a.m. So just try to lighten the mood a little bit.
So what was your off days like when you were playing?
When I was playing?
Yeah.
Off day would be mostly probably golf for me. I was a big golfer. Other than that, like I didn't play video games. It was mostly golf, and you know, big hockey guy too. So I'd watch hockey at night, and that's pretty much it.
What do you think about those guys that are now coming into like the leagues and stuff like that, that are all about playing video games and that kind of life?
I honestly, for me, I don't understand it, but I mean, I'm not going to tell someone how to live their life. I know we had a defenseman on our team this year that, you know, he's one of the guys that I like to joke around with quite a bit. And every morning he'd come in and I'd ask, I say, what'd you do last night? He said, I play little video games. I said, until what time? He goes, maybe 4 o'clock. I said, how are you even up right now? I went to bed at 9:30. It's actually crazy. It's crazy how much video games these guys play. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wild. It's definitely wild. I don't know how that would work. Like you'd be up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then wake up the next morning and you have to play or skate or that's mind blowing.
Well, I mean, I think he was kind of a little bit of a mutant too. So, the thing is, the problem with these kids is they play video games till 4. They'll wake up whenever they get up and come to practice, be at the rink for 9. But then they'll just go home and sleep all day and get up and play video games till 4. So their sleep schedule is mangled, you know, and then they just get in the habit and they do it over and over and over. And it's obviously a tough cycle to break, I guess. I don't know.
You ever try to influence that their life choices like that, or you just let them do whatever they have to do?
You know, I'll throw some jabs in there and say maybe go outside or maybe read a book or something. But they're 20 years old to 27 or however old they are. Like they're gonna do what they're gonna do, and as long as you know they show up and they work hard, that's my big thing. If they show up and compete and you know do the thing on the ice, I'm not gonna get mad at them for playing Fortnite for 7 hours.
It's so long. That's so unreal. I can't wrap my head around that. It's wild. So
me either.
So you wanted to. So you obviously got the job in Fayetteville. How important was it to stay in Fayetteville after you finished your career there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know another thing. Just like I was talking about with the SPHL, I think Fayetteville in years past kind of got a bad rap too. And I mean, when I got traded here initially, I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, I think our head coach, Jesse, could tell you that I didn't plan on initially coming. I actually went to Pittsburgh for 5 days and didn't report right away. And I took a little bit of a breather. And, you know, after talking to Jesse, obviously, you know, he's a great guy. And, you know, I figured I might as well go and give it a shot. And honestly, when I showed up here, it was night and day from what I heard from years past. I mean, years past, you know, players went there to die, I guess. Their careers went there to die. But now, I mean, you know, it's the town's fine. I don't know why it gets a bad rap. It's, you know, it's a good community. The fans are good. The facilities are unbelievable. And obviously Jesse has played a huge part in that, but yeah, it was important for me to stay here, and you know, try to connect more with the community in that sense. And, you know, it's been great so far.
How important is it to you to build that culture back up into a well-respected, obviously not saying they're not respected now, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think Jesse, our head coach, or Travis's head coach, and my the guy I work under, has done a really good job. I mean, you know, the culture, he's essentially turned around in 3 years from a team that I think, Travis, you played on it, right? That won 7 games, but you went during that year.
Yeah, I played the first like 15 games.
Yeah, to a team, you know, that won however many last year, 26 games, and, you know, won a playoff game, to a team this year that only lost 6 games. So, you know, I think he's the one that's kind of turned around that culture, and I'm just here to, you know, help implement that. So, yeah, it's been a great turnaround, that's for sure.
So I've asked Jake this before when we did one of our earlier interviews, and it's pretty big. What is your favorite jersey theme night?
Oh, man, to be honest, I wasn't a big theme night guy. But, you know, obviously now from the organizational standpoint and learning the business side of it, I know that they're huge for the business. And, you know, some of them are pretty neat. I guess for me, I don't know, what this year, what do we do? I thought our baseball ones were pretty cool. You know, then, you get into some weird ones like SpongeBob and stuff like that. I don't know. What were your favorites, Travis?
I said it last time. My favorites were always the cancer ones.
Like, okay.
Those, you know, those take close to home for a lot of guys. But like I right. said this year, I said this the other day. This year, the USA ones we had.
Oh, those yeah, take those
close
cool.
home for me. Just yeah, those take close to home for me. Going to prep school in Lake Placid, being kind of around the Muir Klondike for 5 years. I think I bought two of them. Yeah, no. I had that one kept, so that was a cool one. But the woodpecker ones were cool. Those were the fun.
Yeah, I thought those USA ones we wore were actually pretty neat. And then we had the other team were in Soviet Union ones.
Yeah,
that was cool. I enjoyed that one actually. Good call, Travis.
Good for a few things.
So I see you have the jersey behind you as well, and then you have a bunch of numbers behind you. I had to ask you, what is going on? What do you have behind you with the numbers?
The jerseys, my Evansville jersey, I guess. I spent most of my time there. And that it's a blanket my mom actually made me from all my minor hockey jerseys and summer hockey jerseys. She got it put together. It's actually pretty neat. So decided I'd hang it up on the wall to, you know, give it some feng shui in here.
That's awesome. That is pretty cool. Where's your favorite place that you've played throughout your career? I don't want to say Fayetteville doesn't count because now you're the coach of there, but like where was your favorite place to play?
Minor hockey or pro?
Let's go pro.
Okay. I mean, if you're excluding Fayetteville, obviously, you know, I played around the SP, but the experience in Europe is something that, you know, not a lot of people get to do. And it's something that, you know, growing up now, I maybe took for granted when I was there, but I look back on it and, you know, it was a pretty cool experience. You know, you practice Monday morning and then you're on a plane to Vienna, Austria that night to do a, you know, tour around for a couple of days, go back and practice and play hockey. I think, you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. So I'd probably go with Germany.
Yeah. So obviously, but Fayetteville takes that number one spot. What's so important? What's so great about playing in Fayetteville? I've asked Jake this before. I had to ask you.
Honestly, it's just, I think the atmosphere around the rink and stuff like that. I mean, you know, when I came here last year, I think, you know, they're a pretty close team and, you know, they're a bunch, I guess we were pretty young last year too. And it's just, you know, I would just go with the atmosphere and, you know, the fans are great. I think also the fans got a bad rap in the past, but I think, you know, they're good. They support our team and, you know, honestly, it's a good spot.
Yeah. It seems like the fans are great. Since bringing Jake onto the show, a lot of them have reached out and a lot of them are talking about it. And they seem like a great bunch of people over there for sure. So I don't want to keep you for
fan
too
favorite.
Much. Yeah. It seems like it. It seems like it with that guy over there. But yeah. So I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I have to talk about have to talk about some NHL hockey. Who was your favorite team growing up?
Ottawa, just because I'm from Ottawa. Unfortunately, they're not great right now, but I think they might turn their arm.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of young players, the young talent around them. Brady Tkachuk's pretty good, and he's a menace.
The defenseman they have there, he's really good too, Shabbat. And I was reading something the other day, if they were going back to the old-style lottery, that, you know, the Sens were predicted to pick second and third this year in the draft. So, you know, I think they got some pieces to build around, and, you know, all ride or die with the Sens.
Yeah, they could have had a top five pick last year too, and then they unfortunately traded it to Colorado for Matt Duchene. That was unfortunate. Definitely unfortunate for them.
Yeah, super, super good trade. Yeah, super good.
Oof. Oof. But Bobby Ryan's a great story for you guys right now. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, anytime a guy, you know, publicly comes out and, you know, talks about his abuse and stuff like that, it's good to see him come back. You know, the first game he got that hat trick, it's you know, I think it's a pretty cool story. You know, he's a guy that I think's been through a lot, so it's nice to see him succeed, that's for sure.
So what do you think the solution is to this whole ending the bringing hockey back? And do you think they should come back, or you think they should wait till next season?
Oh, that's a pretty loaded question. Yeah. There, Vinny. I don't know. There's a lot going on, so we'll see. I think, you know, everyone's just kind of waiting for the NHL and see what they do, especially for us. You know, we're just trying to wait for the first domino to fall, I guess. So, you know, we'll see what the NHL does, and, you know, we'll take it from there.
Are you okay if they come back and name a Stanley Cup champion after all of this, even if it's like a best of three series during like the first round or something like that?
I don't want to see a best of three. I don't want to see a best of three.
That's
series.
What's proposed, I mean, I think, right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with them coming back and playing. I just want them to keep it traditional. If they're going to play, I want them to play best of seven. I want them to do it right. So I'd be okay with something like that.
Yeah, that's what we're all hoping for. We're hoping they keep the integrity of the game intact when they do decide to bring things back. Now, are you okay with like a – I've seen this thrown around out there. It was like a 24-team playoff. What are your
no? I'm not okay. I'm not okay with that. That's just the same thing. It's just to me it's just a gimmick. You know, if they're gonna do it, I think, you know, just do it. Do the 16 playoff teams and just do it right. And obviously, I'm starving to see some hockey. So, you know, selfishly, I hope they do it and they do it right. But there's a lot of bigger things going on right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Now, last question: favorite Jake story, and that's it.
Honestly, Travis isn't going to like this very much, but I think, you know, every season Travis grows out his hair. It's pretty long right now. And for some reason, every time Travis gets hit, his helmet does this weird thing, and it half pops off, half hangs off his head. And, you know, for the guys, I think it became a pretty big joke. And, you know, even as a coach, sometimes I'd have to put my game card over my mouth because hitting his helmet would be, you know, half backwards, and he'd be skating to the bench, and, you know, his hair's in his eyes, and he looks like a Sesame Street character when that happens. So I think that's my favorite Jeep moment, his crazy helmet.
All right. I got to defend myself real quick. I have a very misshapen head. It's not long. It's tall. So no helmet was very particular with me fitting, so I had to put like a pad in the back of my helmet to get it to stick somewhat better. So that's my excuse. I remember the one time, Corey, I got hit. I forget where we were playing. It might have been Quad City, and I was coming back to the bench, and Jesse looks at me and goes, "Sick hair, that's going to be on video." I'm sure it probably was. Corey probably saw that and clipped it and gave me the business about it. So yeah, that was a nice running joke, and hopefully I can get it cut pretty soon, because
I don't know why you haven't cut it. You're in the real world.
Well, because there's no barbershops open, Corey. We're all quarantined. What are you going to do, cut it myself?
Man, I was joking the other day that I'm going to have to go to Georgia because they opened up some hair salons. I'm going to have to go there. My hair looks ridiculous right now too.
Yeah, I think my buddy's girlfriend's mom's a hairdresser. I might have to go visit her next week and get it done. Yeah, it's getting quite annoying.
Yeah, you should probably.
Yeah, you and Jesse have been saying that since December.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Jake, this was a big get. I really appreciate it. Jake, you have any last words?
No. Hey, it was great getting to play with you and getting to know you. Obviously, you were great in my development this year and a great friend and a great teammate. And you and the big idiot, Cole, I need to come up to Pittsburgh so we can play some golf. So, but, you know, stay safe while you're down there and don't work too hard.
All right. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a fun time.
What a great interview that was. We have really appreciated Corey coming on the show for us. It was a great interview. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Boys, do you guys have anything else? Anthony, you want to plug the Patreon here real quick, bud?
Yes. If you are not already a subscriber to our Patreon, you are missing out on multiple weekly bonus episodes. Last week, we recorded our first Pops quiz exclusive for the Patreon. We recorded an exclusive redraft from the year 2009. We're posting pictures. We're posting polls you can only get through the Patreon page. There's multiple tiers. You can sign up for our $2 tier, which gives you access to our Facebook page and extra episodes. You can sign up for our $5 tier, which gives you access to, of course, the Facebook page, plus priority and giveaways. I think Vinny's going to make you a T-shirt. There's so much going on right now with the Patreon that if you're not on it, like especially in a time right now where there's no hockey – You're really missing out on a lot of good stuff. And
we've got exclusive.
At the most $5 a month. So it's like, why not pay $5 a month for a little bit extra?
Yeah.
You're getting literally
everything,
multiple hours worth of content. You're getting early releases on all of our episodes.
You're getting videos.
You're getting video that you're not getting anywhere else. And when you're part of the story Facebook
time.
Group,
story Vinny time. Yeah, story time's story, coming up. That little, story time, yeah. Little teaser Wait, there. We have.
Did you guys record one?
No, not yet, but we're going to. Okay. And it's going to be great. Story time with Jake Absolutely. Is going to be fantastic. He's going to have his own stories. He's going to have guest stories. It's going to be fantastic. We have to. I want him in the draft,
though. That's exclusive
though.
To the Patreon.
We need to get him in on one of our drafts. A three-person
draft. Why don't
draft
we draft some
players?
Give me 2012, because that was the draft year that I was like looking to get drafted. Yeah.
All right.
That would be
you picking
one.
Yourself number one?
No, come on. Number two.
No, number two. Come on, man. Have respect for myself. Yeah,
Yakupov can stay at number one.
Oh, man.
Yikes. That's one of the toughest looks I've ever seen.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. That's a
maybe,
bad
we'll,
one.
Maybe we'll record one after this here. We'll see. On that note, folks, do you guys have any last words? Jake or Anthony, you have any last words?
Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Absolutely.
There it is. On that note, folks, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the Power Play Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon page and follow us on all social media at the Power Play Pod, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Drop those reviews, though, too, wherever you're listening. Let us know what you think of the show. For Anthony the backup, for Jake Nasty. Is it Jake Nasty? Are we calling you Jake Nasty at this point?
No.
I feel like that's too much of a ripoff.
Okay.
That's too much of a rip-off.
We'll figure out something.
Too much of a ripoff.
We'll figure out something. For the boys, for myself, have a good night or day whenever you're listening.
See ya.
Bye.